thing that you can do for your family is to get close to God, to start praying and reading the Bible so that you can hear His heartbeat. It's a beautiful, strong beat, a constant rhythm. I'm Bernie Diamond, and it's just great that you can join me again this week on Christianity Works. As we spend time together in God's Word today, I passionately believe God is going to change us from the inside out in ways that we could never have imagined. And that's what Christianity Works is all about, opening up God's Word and taking a fresh look to see what He's doing in our lives today, because He's always up to something good. So as we share this time together, my prayer is that we'll be forever changed by God's love, God's grace, and God's power in Jesus Christ. If God offered you anything you wanted in this world, anything at all, what would you ask for? Tough question. Takes a bit of thinking about a new car, a bigger house, a good health, a long life. There are so many things to choose from. What would you choose? Can I tell you something? After the basic provisions of enough air to breathe and water to drink and food to eat and a roof over my head, you know what's right up there for me? Peace. Just being able to live life in peace. If you have a Bible, open it up at 1 Kings in the Old Testament, chapter 22 and verse 17. This is what it says. Micah said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let each one go home in peace." There's something about being able to go home in peace, to kind of walk in the front door, close it behind you, be in this sanctuary called home, and to be able to withdraw from the world with our families and have peace. In fact, my hunch is, if you and I did a survey and a peaceful home was one of the things on that list, many a person would choose that. There is such a blessing in a peaceful home. Many a home is torn by strife, discord, disrespect, dissension, and many a family is disintegrating. What if we could have a peaceful home? What a blessing that would be. You ever look around in this world? Then many homes are far from being peaceful. They're a long way from that. And depending on where you live, either divorce is running at almost one in two marriages, or if divorce isn't quite the cultural norm, many a so-called family is no more than two warring adults and a bunch of angry, ill-disciplined children. There's no peace in those places. You can't have peace when the people aren't living a peaceful life. There's an interesting statement at the beginning of the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Proverbs is wisdom literature. Have a listen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." When it comes to peace, I had an interesting email from a rebel fighter in a war-torn part of Africa last year. He listened to a program of ours on the radio about the fear of God. Have a listen to what he said. He said, "Recently I was attending a peace conference. While I was in my hotel room, I turned on the radio. As I was listening to your program, I realized that with no fear of God in our hearts, there will be no peace. No peace at all. This 8 minutes were enough to take me to a turning point of my life, as well as in my peace effort in this region. I left the room as a changed man. I've been on the battlefield for 13 years now. I don't know how many people have died because of my gun, but what I know is that I decided to lay down my arms." Isn't that amazing testimony? But do you get it? Peace comes when we fear God. Peace comes when we decide to do it His way. Peace comes when we lay down our guns and stop shooting because deep in our hearts, the fear of God has taken root, a right fear, a good fear. When we decide to start living our lives His way, the right way, there's a name for that. It's called righteousness, and that righteousness has a real impact on our home lives. Again, listen to the prophet Isaiah. I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 32, beginning at verse 7. Listen to how he puts it. "The effect of righteousness will be peace, and the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, a secure dwelling, and in quiet resting places." Man, what an incredible blessing. Peaceful habitation, a secure dwelling, and quiet resting places. Let me ask you something. Is that something that you want for your home, for your family? When you walk in the front door and close it and shut out the rest of the world out there, is that the sort of home that you want to have? I believe that it is time for us to start building a godly home, to take seriously our responsibility to play our part in making our homes godly. I don't mean being perfect. I mean imperfect people are going to have an imperfect home. Sure, but you know something? As we start to get the fear of God happening in our hearts, as we honour God, as we start to decide to live our lives His ways, something happens. It's a bit like that rebel fighter. Peace breaks out. It won't happen overnight. It may take months, even years, to sort through some of the messes we've created. And I know we can't change the past, but we can change from this moment forward. What a blessing a peaceful home is. I've lived in both a house of conflict and a house of peace, and let me tell you, peace is so much better. There's a price to pay. I can't always have my own way anymore. But you know something? That's good. That's something I had to learn. I'm still learning. I'm absolutely determined to do the best I can to make the home I live in peaceful, not just for me, but for my wife Jackie and my beautiful daughter Melissa. They're entitled to peace too, you know. Now, there are going to be times when the three of us rub one another the wrong way, when it just doesn't quite work. But today on the program, we're going to be taking a look at some really practical things that we can do to have a godly family and a peaceful home. I was talking recently to a real estate agent who was selling a house for a couple that had just separated. Every week they had the sales meeting with the real estate agent to see how the sale's progressing. He was telling me how difficult those meetings were. He said, you can cut the air with a knife. These two detest each other. They couldn't see eye to eye on anything. Why is that? How did that happen? How did things get to such a low point? Let me tell you, that's the inevitable outcome if we live in our families for ourselves, selfishly, what I can get out of it. It starts not long after a couple's married. Tiny cracks appear. Battles start. They turn into raging wars and it tears families apart. Life wasn't meant to be lived that way. We weren't meant to live in a war zone called family. And part of what needs to happen in our homes is that each one of us needs to bring ourselves under the authority of God Himself. Godly people have the opportunity to build a godly home. It's no slam dunk, by the way. It's no certainty, but at least we have the opportunity. Ungodly people, you've got no show. Let me ask you again, what do you want? Do you want what the prophet Isaiah was talking about? The effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever. My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places. Is that what you want? Or do you want a home of discord and dissension? I'm Bernie Diamond, and we'll continue with today's message in just a moment. You know, my hunch is that we need to deliberately choose peace, a peaceful home, a peaceful family. There is such incredible blessing in a peaceful home. But it's a deliberate choice. We have to choose peace. And then when we've decided on peace, we need to set about building a peaceful home, a godly family. Yeah, okay, there's a cost, but the blessing is so worth it. What do you think? I mean, let me ask you to think about some things in your own family. Firstly, just in the last week or so, what are some of the things that you've done, things you've said, things you've left unsaid or undone that have robbed your family of peace? And I wonder how much of that is just, well, the way we always behave in our family. I mean, if we stood back and looked at some of the patterns of behaviour that rob our families of peace, what are they? Maybe you could take time to jot a few down. Now let's have a think. If we were going to change just one or two of those things that are robbing our families of peace, how would we go about that? And what difference would that really make? See, this is what I mean about deliberately choosing peace. We can pray for it, we can believe for it, but we need to choose peace and pursue it. That's what God's Word says. It's not going to happen by accident. When we set out to start building a godly family, peace is the fruit that grows out of that. And what an awesome, awesome thing that is. What a blessing it is to have a peaceful home, don't you think? Now, I truly believe that the husband, the father, the man, has such a great role to play in bringing peace. We men are a funny breed. There's something deep inside us that makes us the protectors and the providers for our families. Most men, not all, but most men are programmed, hardwired to provide and protect. Okay, these days women often go out to work and bring an income into the house, and that's great. But it tends to be the man, the husband, the father, who carries the burden of protection and provision around in his heart. Kind of how we blokes are. And even though we men can so often get it wrong, we can become dominating and reclusive and uncommunicative and, in fact, downright abusive. You know, there's something special about the way God's made us. There's something inside us that wants to lead. And that is a real asset to our families. I don't know about you, but I want peaceful habitation, secure dwelling, quiet resting place, just like Isaiah was talking about as we looked before the break. And funnily enough, it fits so well with the thing that we men carry around inside us somewhere to be the protector and the provider. Because if we really thought about it, that's the sort of home we'd like to provide for our families. I certainly would. And that snug fit, that kind of hand-in-glove thing that's happening here between God's promise of a peaceful home and the man's desire to provide and protect, you know what that tells me? It tells me that we men, husbands and fathers, have a big role to play in bringing this blessing to pass. That's something I'd like to unpack right now, because if the truth be known, there is more than one man listening today for whom it's time to step up to the plate and be a man. To be the man God made him to be, to protect, to provide, to bring peace and blessing to our homes. The notion these days of the man being the head of the household, it's not very politically correct. It's not particularly popular. But the reality is that the man's protector, provider kind of strength fits him well for that role. Not to dominate people, not to abuse power, but to be a godly leader in the home. And there's the key. It's in that adjective, godly. Because an ungodly husband and father can be such a destructive force in the home. He's so strong. His anger is so fierce. It's a part of who he is as a man. A father can be destructive. Have a listen to this bit of godly advice from the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You see the two sides of the coin in that verse? There's a strength, and you can either use that, Dad, to bring your kids up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, or you can misuse it to provoke anger in your children. Godly strength wrongly applied becomes a harsh reality. And where there is a harsh judgment and treatment from an ungodly man in the home, there can be no peace. The other mistake we make in the 21st century is the mistake of abdication. Many a husband and father walks away from his role as the leader in the home. And that's sad, because as a godly leader, he can bring such an incredible peace and stability and safety and order in this chaotic thing we call family. There are a few different reasons why men walk away sometimes. The first is just they're plain exhausted. They're working long hours to pay off the mortgage. The second is that it doesn't seem politically correct anymore for him to exercise leadership. We mistake equality between men and women by thinking they're the same. We get it all wrong. We think somehow it means that our roles in the home are the same. They're not, because we're different and God planned it that way. The template men have in their heads of the relationship between their mother and father, well, it doesn't work anymore, so they give up. Kids have been taught to disrespect their parents. That's the third thing. On TV program, you know, The Simpsons, Dad, Homer, is this stupid old slob who can never get it right. Society's teaching our kids to defy their parents. And so many a man will abdicate for these reasons. And on top of all that, he's too busy to have a close walk with God. He himself, therefore, isn't godly. So if you're a man, listen up. And if you're a woman, listen up too, because this is important. Men, God made us in a certain way. Strong, with that protector-provider instinct for a purpose. And the greatest thing that you can do for your family is to get close to God. To start praying and reading the Bible and getting close to God so that you can hear his heartbeat. It's a beautiful, strong beat of a father's heart, a constant rhythm. And the closer we get to God, men, the more we rediscover who God made us to be. Actually, being a leader and loving and cherishing our wives and nurturing our children, it ends up coming kind of naturally. It comes naturally to cherish our wives and instruct our children, to nurture them and to discipline them. and to protect our families from the things that will upset their peace. The problem is so many men have slipped into bad habits because they're tired, because society's told them that godly ways aren't trendy anymore. Perhaps they're not that trendy. But if we surveyed women and asked them if they wanted their husbands to step up to the plate and take up the mantle of leadership, godly leadership, you know what we'd get? A resounding, oh yes, please. It's great for us men to be passionate about our work. But something my wife's been teaching me is that I have to have something left for my family too. Not the leftovers, not the dregs, but something of my best. So if you're a man, if some of this rings true for you, if it's striking a bit closer to home than you wished it was, here is my encouragement to you today. You, my friend, are God's gift to your wife and to your children. He expects you to lead. He expects you to protect and provide. And when we figure out what that means in our particular family, what we discover is that who we are brings such peace to our homes. And that's an incredible blessing. I'm Bertie Diamond. It's not rocket science, is it? It's not rocket science. It's just plain common sense. Come on, let's think about it. Let's just stop for a moment and think it through. Whether you're a man or a woman, ask yourself these questions. Firstly, if you could write down just half a dozen or so dot points of what the ideal man in your family should look like, what would those be? And when you've done that, take a look at yourself or your husband and ask yourself, does this man fit the bill? And if not, where does he fall short? Now, if you could do just three things, the three most important things to get him to fit the bill, what would they be? This is worth thinking about, don't you think? You know, I believe that this Christianity thing actually works. That's why I do what I do, to see your life, your family changed, and the lives of so many other people around the world that will listen to this program this week. Now, don't forget, if you'd like to have another listen to this message or any of the other messages in this series, then I would encourage you, come and visit our website, ChristianityWorks.com. You can listen online, you can pull the programs down, you can subscribe to the podcast. It's all there just for you, ChristianityWorks.com. Now remember, God's plan for you and your family is that you should have peace at home, because there is such great blessing in a peaceful home. And the husband and the father, you have such an important role, a vital role to play, to bring your wisdom and your strength to bear to create that peace. Before the break, we talked about the man, the husband, the father. What an incredible asset his strength can be in building a godly family and bringing peace to the home. Now it's time to talk about the wife and the mother, and the incredible asset that she can be in being the glue that binds the family together into a working unit, the one who makes the home a nurturing environment. But so often, the woman feels used and abused. No wonder. In many places and cultures, she's expected to go out and earn income as well. I mean, in Australia at least, the lion's share of housework is still done by women and not men. You know, the Christian view of male-female relationships can seem, well, old-fashioned. But the more I delve into what the Bible has to say about male-female relationships, the more I realise that whilst maybe we wouldn't quite use the same language today if we were writing it, what God has to say about families and husbands and wives, when you dig beneath the language that offends our 21st century sensibilities and go to the heart of what he's saying, it's as true today as it was when it was written. Have a listen to this. 1 Peter in the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, show consideration for your wives in your life together, paying honour to the woman as the weaker sex, since they too are heirs of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing may hinder your prayers. That weaker sex thing makes me smile. You know, women, after all, are the ones who have the babies. And the very thought of having a baby is enough to send me into a cold sweat. I mean, I go weak at the knees at the thought of what it must be like for a woman to give birth. And then the Bible calls them the weaker sex. Pretty chauvinistic, don't you think? Actually, what the original Greek that sits behind our English translation says is that they are the weaker vessel. And this is how I picture this. You know, the big metal vats that they use when they milk cows, you know, those big sort of aluminium cans? That's the bloke. And the woman is this small, delicate, exquisite vase on the mantelpiece of infinitely more worth, infinitely greater beauty than that big, hard can. And that kind of does it for me, that picture. Men have this knockabout strength and robustness about them. They play the game of rugby or football, or whatever your code of football is, that sort of bone-crunching thing that they do. Not very much a girl thing, is it? Women, on the other hand, are delicate, they're much more emotional creatures, and for the most part, we men don't get that often. And see, what Peter's writing here to us blokes is this. Just because you appear stronger, just because you've got it in your heads that you're bigger, better, stronger, faster, and this was particularly relevant to the male-dominated patriarchal society that he was writing to, just because you've got this macho picture in your head, don't you for 1 minute, not for 1 minute, even begin to think you are somehow better in God's sight. In fact, you'd better honour her. You know what that means? You know what it means to honour someone? It means firstly and foremost to value her. That's why the old marriage vows say love, honour and cherish, because she needs to be cherished. And she has this incredible strength, men, that we don't have. So God's calling us here through his word to value her, to honour her, to pay deference and reverence to her. This is very strong language. And there's a sting in the end of this last bit for men. Have another listen. Husbands, in the same way, show consideration for your wives. Boy, if only we should show consideration for our wives. Husbands, show consideration for your wives in your life together, paying honour to the woman as the weaker sex, that beautiful vase on the mantelpiece, since they too are heirs of the gracious gift of life. Now here's the sting, so that nothing may hinder your prayers. Look at how seriously God takes this. People, women play such an amazing role in the building of a godly family and the bringing of peace to the home. But to those of you who are women, I want to say this. I want you to hear that sting in the tail that God puts in his advice to men about how they treat you. I want you to hear how seriously God takes you, how much he cares for you, how much he doesn't mince his words when he's standing up for you. It is time for some women in this world to realize how incredibly important your gentleness and your commitment to your children and your commitment to your husband and your commitment to your home really is in building a godly home. See, in my heart, I think of my wife as the pillar of our family. She's the one that binds it all together. And while I'm out there being a hunter-gatherer, she is binding the family together. She's knocking off some of my rough edges. She's softening who I am. She's helping me to see the children. She is a wonderful asset in our home. I want to come back to what we're talking about today. It is about the blessing of a peaceful home. Remember, we talked at the beginning of the program about Isaiah chapter 32, beginning at verse 17, where God says this, "The effect of righteousness, that is living our lives the right way through Jesus Christ, the effect of righteousness will be peace. And the result of righteousness, quietness and trust forever." What a beautiful home that would be. God goes on to say, "My people will abide in a peaceful habitation, in secure dwellings, and in quiet resting places." Can I encourage you today? It is so worth it to decide as husband and wife, as the leaders of the home, that you are going to have a peaceful home, and then to set about using the different gifts, the different skills, the different ways that God has made each of you to be a blessing and to bring that to pass. It doesn't matter how dysfunctional our homes might be. It doesn't matter what mistakes we've made in the past. It doesn't matter how bad things are. God wants his people to live righteously, and the blessing that comes from that is peace and security and a quiet resting place. Ah, man, that is just so worth doing. It is such a wonderful thing to have peace in our homes, but building a godly family takes some serious investment. That's why over these last few weeks on the program, and again over the next couple of weeks, we're talking about building a godly family. Now, you might be listening to these programs and thinking, man, a godly family? You have to be kidding me. It's just not possible. Let me tell you, it is not possible in my family. We can't undo the mistakes of the past, but we can step out from this day forward to build a godly family. In fact, let's pray about that right now. Father, I pray that you would help us to lift our eyes, to gaze on heavenly things. In your word, you make it clear that your heart is for us to build a godly family, a family where the way we live together, the way we love one another, the way we honor one another, the way we are a family honors you. Some days, Lord, it feels like a godly family is absolutely impossible. But then on those days, we pray that you would breathe your spirit into our hearts and give us the faith that we need to believe that you are about helping us to build a godly family. Show us what part we have to play. Give us the wisdom and the courage to be part of that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you'd like to listen to this program again or any of the other programs in this series, Building a Godly Family, you can do just that at our website, ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks again for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again at the same time next week right here on Christianity Works with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.